We are going to be talking about principles of time management. And any time you are talking about principles, you've got to remember the KISS theory. Does anybody know what that stands for? Ed? Keep it simple, stupid. So I'm going to try and keep this whole business of time management in a simple form as I know how. And tonight, in talking about time management, I am going to give you a little acrostic that I call OATS. And OATS is not something that you necessarily feed to a horse, but it stands for Objectives, Activities, Timetable, and Scheduling. And it is a very simple little plan that if you initiate it, it will help you to become proficient in this whole area of time management, but over every area of your life. Now, starting out with objectives, I want to remind you of something that we talked about last week, that any motion which is not based upon your objective tends to be activity without productivity. And we must learn to think and plan and make every decision in the light of our objectives. Now, last week, one of the things that I ask you to think about in this whole area of objective is, what is your objective? And if you do not know what your objectives are, then you have no basis for making decisions, because your objectives pinpoint exactly what your goals are. And once those goals are identified, you can make decisions which will help you to reach those goals. Often, we have kind of a general idea that this is what my objective is. But to have a general idea is not very helpful at all, because it is that poor understanding or ambiguity concerning our goals that causes us to be ineffective in our Christian life. If a person wants to become proficient in the personal and spiritual management of his life, he must make time to define clear and measurable objectives, both for his short range as well as his long range. Once he has done this, his objectives will give him specific direction for planning and decision making. The objectives will also give him a basis for evaluating his activities after he's done them. Without clear objective, there is no basis for objective evaluation of what he does. His evaluation tends to be subjective and emotional, and most of the time, unrealistic. And so oftentimes we evaluate on the basis of how I feel. And if I get up this morning and I've got a headache, and my wife, you know, was unhappy with me about something, and the kids are crying, and, you know, all kinds of things can just add pressure, and I think everything is going wrong. And the truth of the fact is that, no, everything isn't going wrong. But if I only have a subjective standard by which to evaluate, then I'm not going to have a very accurate evaluation. And sometimes we are living by our subjectives rather than by our objectives. Now, if I were to ask you to write down what is your lifetime goal, could you do it? Because the first objective you need to determine is that lifetime, or that long-range objective for your life. This, in turn, will then guide you towards the short-range objectives, which will then propel you towards that long-range objective that you have in life. We can come along and say, well, this is my long-range objective. But once I have figured out that long-range objective, then I can come back and I realize that if I'm going to get here, that first of all, I've got to get here, I've got to get there, and then I've got to get there. And these can be little short-range goals or activities that I have to perform if I, in fact, am ever going to reach that long-term goal and objective for my life. But the question is, do you know what that long-range objective is? And if you don't, I tell you, you're in trouble because you have no basis for making any decisions. But somehow we've got to pinpoint that out there. And as a born-again believer, I would like to suggest to you that perhaps your objective would be something like this: to walk in daily fellowship with God and to order my life and family, if I'm married, in accordance with the Word of God, so that we are daily exchanging our lives for the fulfilling of Christ's great commission. Now let me say that one more time for you. To walk in daily fellowship with God and to order my life and my family in accordance with the Word of God, so that daily we are exchanging our lives for the fulfilling of Christ's great commission. Since this is such a crucial objective, because it gives direction to your entire life, in trying to set that, perhaps what you should do is to take a few hours or a day and go and get alone with God and very prayerfully ask Him to give you an objective for your life. And until you have that, you're in trouble. And if you say, but I don't know what that objective is, well, I'm reminded of the passage in James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men freely and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. I'm also reminded of the passage in James which says, we have not because we ask not. And if tonight you cannot write your lifetime goal and objective, my question to you is this: are you seeking to clarify and to establish that? Because until you do, I mean, your life has no real direction. You can say, oh, well, I'm going out in that direction. And you start out in that direction, and boy, I'll tell you, it'd be very easy for the devil to come and to sidetrack you in one direction or the other. Now, once we have established what our objectives are, then we are ready to go to A of Oats. And this talks about our activities. And the activities are the events and actions you engage in to accomplish your objective. So we could either call these kind of short-range goals, or we could say that these are the various activities that we have to engage in if, in fact, we are going to reach that ultimate goal out there in our life. So after you have decided upon your objective, then the next question you ask is, what activities must I engage in if I am going to reach that gold out there in front of me. And at this point, I need to sit down, put on my thinking hat, and get out a pencil and a piece of paper and give some very serious considerations to the various steps or activities that I'm going to have to engage in. And we do this day after day in our life. And when you're involved in some activity, oftentimes that activity forces us. Like when I went to the university, they just didn't allow me to be disorganized. My objective was to graduate. And they said, if you're going to graduate from this institution, then you need 128 hours. 44 of them are going to be in your major subject, and in your minor over here, there are 24, and then you're going to have to take this whole string of courses, and there are a few hours left over so that you can kind of choose whatever courses that you want to take. Well, 128 hours. Divide that by 4 gives me 32. 2 semesters, that gives me 16. And I have these required courses. And the fact that there are 100, 200, 300, and 400, and I obviously have to take them in their sequential order, it forces me to be organized. And the only thing that I really decide is, do I want to take that on Monday at 9 o'clock or at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or on Thursday 3 to 4? But it forces me to figure out the activities that I have to engage in. The same thing if we go on a trip. We figure out I'm here and I want to go there. I've got about 3 possible roads that I could follow. And the first thing I have to decide, well, now which one of these am I going to take? And then I begin to list the major cities that I'm going to have to pass through, which are kind of landmarks that tell me exactly where I am in terms of moving me towards the accomplishing of that goal to get to this particular place. You ladies do that also every day. Perhaps the hardest thing is to figure out, well, what are we going to eat today? But once I've got the menu decided, then it's a very simple thing to reach into the recipe box and to pull out the recipes and then begin to do 1, 2, 3, 4, and before long I find that the meal is finished. You do the same thing when you make a dress. You open your pattern and it lists for you the various steps so that by doing 1, 2, 3, and ultimately you end up with that dress or whatever it is that you are trying to make. But once the objectives are figured out, then we go to our activities. Now, when you are working on your activities for your lifetime goal, I'd like to suggest to you that perhaps in the figuring out of those activities, that you ought to sit down with someone who is a spiritual leader, your pastor or another person in your church that you have confidence in. And once you have figured out the various activities, just to go over them with someone else. Because sometimes we are so subjectively involved that we decide, oh, this is the path I ought to take. But then somebody else who comes along who's not so subjectively involved and says, well, my friend, I wonder if you've thought about this or this or this. And we think, no, I really didn't. And if I did think about it, I would see why that maybe this is not the best activity. Because I'll tell you, you're going to have somebody else there in your corner when it comes to figuring out those activities, and that is none other than Satan himself. But to get someone to sit down with you after you figure those things out, or maybe before you even begin to figure them out, depending on how much help you need, but to sort through that. I think of the verse in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 22 where it says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counsel, they are established. Then, the next thing that I have got to do is go to T in Oats, and that's a timetable. And this is a simple time-measuring tool that blocks out time according to minutes, hours, days, weeks, or months, depending on the specific objective. It helps us to visualize time in specifics rather than in generalities. Now, that timetable becomes a very important tool, because there I am forced to take the activities that I have figured out and begin to program them into my day. And if we are going to become effective, then we have got to find some device or some system. And on the market, in most bookstores, you can go in and you can find at least 25 or 30 different kinds of diary systems that help you to look at time in specifics rather than in generalities. And during this course, we are going to supply you. We've already started with the daily. Next week, we are going to move to the weekly so that you begin to look at more than just a day at a time, but a week at a time. And then before this course is over with, we'll be looking at a month at a time so that I come and begin to plan out those various activities on my timetable. Once I've got that device figured out that I'm going to use, then I go to the S in Oats, and that is scheduling. And scheduling is an activity that makes use of the timetable by writing down the various events according to their priority. Scheduling is a very important part and can mean the difference between success or failure in fulfilling the objectives. Many activities never become airborne because they were never actually scheduled on the timetable chart, or perhaps they were scheduled too late so that adequate preparation time was not allowed. How often have you gone to an event only to find out that something has gone wrong because somebody somewhere didn't check through? Or if they checked through, they waited till the last minute. Now, they may have planned back here weeks ago, and they may have listed out all of the various activities that they had, but then they thought, well, but that's still weeks away, and so we'll come back and kind of figure out the calendar of events, and then somehow it skips somebody's mind. And then about a week before the event takes place, we think, ugh, I've got to get on that, to find out that the place that we want is now booked by somebody else. And then we go and we begin to invite people, and they say, well, you know, I'd really like to go, but the truth of the fact is that I'm already committed to something else. And if I would have known, because I really would like to have done that. And now we've worked so hard to bring this event, and the very people that we want, they can't come. and we didn't fail because we didn't have a timetable. We failed because we didn't carry through with that final step, and that is scheduling on the timetable those various activities that will carry us towards the accomplishing of our objective. Now, the timetable is a tool, and scheduling is an activity. So oftentimes people say, well, aren't they the same thing? No, they're not. Because one's a tool and the other is an activity. And most of the time we don't fail because we don't have the tool. It's that we didn't use the tool. And the scheduling forces us then to use the tool. Now, the secret to good planning or good management is planning. By using oats, we discover the benefits of good planning. We will save time as well as improve performance. We will also be able to work at a relaxed pace rather than in a frantic rush. If I do not plan well, it will take me longer to execute. And sometimes if I would spend more time planning, figuring out the objective, the activity, the timetable, the scheduling, then when it actually comes to the execution of that particular event, it takes very little time. But if I have not adequately planned, then I'm in trouble. And OATS is all about trying to help you to plan the use of your time by using that simple little acrostic. What is my objective? What activities must I engage in to accomplish those objectives? When will I do them? And make out a timetable, and then following through in that last step of actually scheduling each of those events in there. In the personal and spiritual management aid, you learn to plan your day with the basics of the Christian life included. In the next section, we're going to learn how to write specific objectives for each of the areas of your walk with Christ and plan activities over a period of time that will lead you to the advancement or the accomplishing of those spiritual goals for your life. Any questions?
You need to plug in the five P's.
What are the five P's?
Prior planning prevents poor performance.
That's beautiful. Prior planning
prevents
poor performance.